welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Glory to God. Amen. You know, one day, unless Jesus comes back, there'll be books written about the times we've lived through. Amen. I'm convinced of that. These are times when God is doing something in our midst. And you know, when you read a book, of course, you know, you turn over the page and 3 months have passed. And sometimes you actually, when you actually live it, you do actually live those 3 months. You can't just turn the page. And so sometimes when God is doing something so awesome amongst you, there can be periods when you sort of think, you know, what's happening, Lord? What's next? And the Lord just says, be patient. I'm preparing. I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it. And the Lord is still doing it. Amen. Amen? We're still moving into the plans that God has for us. The good news is He's still with us. He said, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you know what? He hasn't. Because sometimes you might feel like, what's going on, Lord? And the Lord says, I'm doing it. Hallelujah. You're on the turning of the page. You know, sometimes it's just like that. We've got that time in May coming up, which I guess will be one of those that's got a whole chapter or even two devoted to it when we have the next Strong Tower conference. You know, that's going to be one of those weekends that when the story is written, it's going to need a lot of writing for everything that God does on that weekend. But everything, as we lead up to that, on the 15th to the 16th to the 17th of May with Dr. James, even with all the miracles we'll see that weekend and the creative hand of God at work, now is no less exciting. Because now God is still at work within us. Amen. And this is such a glorious time to be the church. Because God is stirring His church. Amen. He's stirring His church for the next sort of move of what He's doing. We've had an awesome time in the past few decades in the church of God bringing His church back to life. If you go back to the 1960s, pretty much the church, there wasn't a lot of life. There was the odd isolated pocket of it, but much had just died and it was sort of very religious and people just doing things. And God stirred by His Spirit, stirred various men of God late 60s, 70s, to bring the church alive again. And He released His Holy Spirit upon the church again. Amen. And we mustn't forget that His Holy Spirit is at work. Amen. We're not reinventing programs and religion now. We're still dependent on everything that we do, everything we breathe, everything we want to undertake on the Holy Spirit, who leads us to give glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. And God did that in the 70s, and He kept going through the 80s, and there were like revival movements and bringing back of the prophets and the apostles to His church. And you look at the whole picture and you think, well, God's sort of done that, so now must be the boot kick out the door time. Hallelujah. In terms of His church going into the world, and that is the most exciting time to be in, because you suddenly realize we're going to be living everything that Jesus died to give us. Because the problem with the sort of the charismatic and sort of clappy and jumpy up and down, and we do all that, is it became very me-focused. You went to get your blessing, and you went to hear your word, and you'd hear people after service saying, well, I didn't really get much out of that this morning. You missed the point. You're not supposed to go to get something out of it. We're supposed to go to give to the Lord. Amen. Amen? And if you didn't get something out of it, maybe you didn't give. Hallelujah. The other amazing thing that God is doing is because it's the time of the church, He's teaching us to be more effective as the body. We've got to get better at being church. You know, no matter how good we are, no matter how lovely some people are in this place, God is saying, come on, there's something more. By the love that you have one for another, others will know that you are Christians. And God has brought us this word of loving one another, being obedient to one another, and going one step further. By honoring one another. And that really gets us in here as English people, because we don't do that sort of thing. The English culture is to be a little bit sarcastic, to be a little bit depreciating, to be a little bit mocking. That's our culture. And God is coming in with this counterculture that says, actually, I'm calling you to honor one another. I'm calling you to think the best of one another. Now, I don't know about you, but the problem when the standard is this high, and then you suddenly look around at what's happening, sometimes you can feel like, I need to go somewhere else. I need to find out where this is happening. And God's saying, no, this is where it is happening, for you, for us. But when you look around, you can get a bit like, I don't know if we're getting there. Precisely. Be stirred by that.
Yes.
What's the point of God bringing stuff that we're already doing?
Yes.
And if you think we're already doing it and God's bringing it, the answer is we're obviously not.
Yes.
And the challenge then is to think, right, what is it that I think I'm okay at this? What is the next step? How is God going to take me on? Amen? And one of the areas I know that God wants to take us on is this whole stirring us as the body. We haven't got a video news this morning, but this little phrase is actually, it's over here as well. This little phrase here comes at the end of every church video news, doesn't it? It comes up, Kingdom Faith Church, a place to belong, or a place to belong to. And this, for every individual in this place, the church, whether it's this church here or a church that you belong to elsewhere, is the place you belong. And it's important that we are in the place that God wants us to be in. Because otherwise we won't belong. Because every person in this room, every single person, is totally unique. And you have something special to give to the body. Wherever you're called to be. Yeah? And it's our responsibility as the body, not necessarily as the leadership, but as the body together, to help one another be the most effective organ, if you like, in that body. Because the healthy body has healthy organs pumping the blood around. Yeah? So this is a place to belong. It's a place to belong because you were created to be part of the church. When you got born again, it wasn't so that you could go to heaven. It was so that you could become part of the kingdom of God,
yes,
which is here now and after we die. It's so that you could live in heaven now. And the manifestation of the people living together in the kingdom of God is as the church. They're not the same thing. Don't get confused on that. But that's the manifestation we see. Amen? Are you with me all this morning?
Yes.
Not sure I am. Right. See? Depreciating humor. Hallelujah. I thought of a joke for this place the other day, you know. Yeah, it definitely was for this place. There's this guy, and he wakes up on a desert island, and he looks around him as he wakes up, and he sees that the ground is all purple. And then he looks at the palm trees, and they're all purple, with purple leaves and purple coconuts hanging from it. And as he looks out, he sees that the sea is all purple. And the sky is all purple. And it was at that moment he realised he'd been marooned. That's got no relevance at all to what I'm saying. I tried to pull it in some, you know, tenuous link. There was nothing, and I liked the joke, so I stuck with it. In the book of Ephesians, I suppose it does fit, actually. Because we're not marooned. We're called to be together.
Yes.
We're not called to go it alone. We're not called to some wonderful desert island with Jesus.
No.
We're actually called to be with Jesus together.
Yes.
And if we miss the together, we actually miss the fullness and the purpose and the destiny God has for us. You cannot go it alone. It's absolutely impossible. If someone starts to say things like, I need to have a break from church for a while, or I'm confused and I need to get away, or I need to, you know, just get away with the... Any expression which takes them out from the body means the devil or the enemy is active in their life and they are being deceived. Because nowhere, 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 nowhere does it say of the people of the body of Christ is when the time is right and when you're really struggling, go off somewhere by yourself. What an absolutely ridiculous thing to do. Sometimes you can feel like that. You can be going through desperate times. You think, I can't go to church this morning. I'll have to praise God. Who do you think is whispering that in your ear? Because you get in here and you might feel absolutely grotty. And you might think, I don't want to jump up and down. And if we sing, Here I Am, I've Come to Worship, I'm going to scream. But actually, it's right where you need to be, because what wants to scream is the flesh within you, and it's that that's rising you up and taking you away from God. Yeah? It's absolutely, completely, and utterly the wrong thing to do. It will only end in spiritual death if you carry on in that route. That's it. That sounds a bit dramatic, but it is. We're not created to go it alone. Yes, we are supposed to have a close walking relationship with the Lord Jesus. Yes, we like Jesus. You know, he got up early to go and spend time with the Father. But it was to prepare him for the day of being with people. Yeah, we need those as well. Ephesians 2, I think I said that a while ago, verse 19 in the New Living Translation, just has this wonderful little expression in the middle of it all. It just says this: you are members of God's family, we are his house. That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
You are his house. We are members of God's family. And of course, that's exciting, because then immediately you hear the, I don't know if you're like me, but whenever I hear the word house, it's like, oh yeah, there's that word that God has given to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. It will be heard that Jesus is in the house. Who's the house? You're the house. Anne is the house with everybody else. Phil is the house. He's not a bungalow, he's not a garage. We're all one big purpose together. The house of God. We're God's family. And like all families, there can be the odd bit of falling out and the, you know, the odd where somebody really irritates you or stuff like that. When that happens, it's yeah, this is cool. God is showing something in me. Because whenever we're irritated, and this is what's, and even saying this is irritating, but whenever we're irritated, all it reveals is what's inside. You could say, oh, it's what they're doing. Yes, but it's only, what they're doing can only affect something that's in you. That's outside you can't do anything to you, Jesus said. It's only what's in a man that defiles a man. So when we get irritated and angry, the really irritating and angry thing is, it's all us.
Yes.
And then you're doubly irritated and angry. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Word of God talks to us as a family. It talks of things like you are put together. You are joined together. You are built together. You are members together. You are heirs together. You're fitted together. You're held together. Do you get the picture?
Yes.
But we live in a culture where that just doesn't sit right. Because in Britain, we all have our own little home, by and large, don't we? With our own front door. And we've become very nuclear, or not even nuclear family these days, but very individually orientated. This is my home. Where'd you get that idea? Is that a biblical concept? Actually, it's not. Our homes are the Lord's. Everything we own belongs to God, and he can use it as he sees fit. Hallelujah. We all think that we need to have me time or my time. I need time to myself. Where'd you get that from? That's a modern concept. I'm not saying that it cannot benefit you to get time away or to have a holiday, and especially to have time away with the Lord, you know, quiet retreat or something. Those are very, very valuable. But this idea of I need me time or I'm going to fall to pieces is actually not biblical. It's a snare put out by the enemy, because nobody ever gets enough me time, because me, the flesh, is never satisfied. So you'll never feel like you're getting enough me time. You'll always feel like you're put upon if you end up falling into that trap. Isn't it wonderful when God just says, reveals things to you? Oh, no, but that's what everybody's teaching. That's what everybody... Yeah, of course it is. It's the world that's sneaking that in. Actually, our encouragement and our refreshment comes from being together. But when we've got this idea in our minds, I need time away from the crowds, sometimes then when we're with the crowds, because this lie is going round and round our mind, the crowds make us tired. Whereas actually, it's in the crowd of God, we're actually re-energized. Amen? Because we bounce off one another. We enjoy one another's company. It's good fun. It's not urgent. So if you go out to a Middle Eastern culture that Jesus was actually ministering into, you go and you go to their homes, you'll find that they'll have had sort of rooms, probably with seats all around the outside of the room, and probably not much else in that room. Or there'd be like a house built around a courtyard where everybody gathered in the courtyard. They were built, their homes, to have lots of people in them. That's why Jesus could go into people's homes and preach, because it was easy. It was the culture to gather people in homes. But we've got to work and transform the culture that we're in, where our homes become that kind of open door. Open house, we were calling it about a year ago. Open our houses to people we know here, people we don't know here, even more so, as well as, rather, people on our street, the people we work with. Because that is where we're going to find God takes us from this place where we are now into the next place. It's as we learn to be the body together, but not a body that then all starts looking in and just praying for one another, but turns around and looks out. Because only can it be as we look out that people will see the love we have one for another. Amen. I actually believe that as we pray, God does bring people in. Sometimes people are so sort of, well, God's not just going to bring people. Actually, God does just bring people. But as well as that, we've got, if we really want to see the fullness of what God has for us as a church, then we've all got to be changing our way we work, changing the way we think, so that we can look out. Amen? Hallelujah. That was the introduction. Now I'm going to go to Romans 12, okay? How are we doing? Oh, that's all right. Now this chapter has come up a few times recently. I don't know if you've noticed. And each time there's been kind of a different emphasis. And we're going to have a different emphasis this morning. We're going to look mainly at this passage and another passage in Acts. Just looking at this being together. It's absolutely essential for our spiritual walk to learn to be together. And we might not be very good at it, but it always just starts with each individual. Because everybody, when you start talking about this, can feel different ways. One, I don't want to be with anybody else. I like my home. Well, in that case, just ask the Lord to come and work in you and change you. All right? He's good at that. That's what he specializes in, heart surgery.
Yes, sure.
Yeah? The other thing you can start to feel is, well, nobody ever invites me into their home. Well, the obvious answer is, who are you inviting into yours? Yeah? Who are you bringing together? It should be, and I don't know if we're there yet, and I pray that very soon we will be. It should be that if you're a visitor in this place, you get so loved on when you come to this church that you almost run away from it. But more importantly, it continues outside of Sunday. You know, you should get dinner invitation. Oh, come round for dinner. Can you come round today? Can you come round for a coffee? Yeah, we can appoint people to sort of to wear little badges and look out for people. But actually, what God wants is for the church just to do it. Yes. It's a bit like the whole question of life groups and having life groups. Now, we could have, and God hasn't told us to do this yet. Maybe he will at some point. Who knows? The reason we don't have life groups in this church is because God hasn't told us to. And there's no point starting something and setting something up because that's what churches do. Church, life groups, home groups, whatever you want to call them. But what I do know is that that kind of life happens in church. Because if I look at the beginning of the church, they were in and out one another's homes. But I don't think Peter and the other apostles sat down and made long lists of whose home everybody was going to meet in and said, I think people just did it. Yeah. Don't you? How could, well, there's no question of it. When you're getting 3,000 added to your church in one day, there wasn't some poor guy writing everybody's name down and allocating them to different life group leaders. But it is for that to work, you've kind of have, there's got to be a kind of maturity in people's walk with God, because you've not got somebody telling you to do it. Yes. And I think that's what God wants in this move of God that we're in now. This beginning, there's a maturity in the believers that says, I take the initiative. I don't wait just to be told. And it's quite, it's a definite maturity about that kind of thing. It's a bit like, if you go to Roffey Place, you know, our Bible college down in Sussex, if you go there, you get awesome training. You really do. You get absolutely full of the Word, full of the Spirit. You get really equipped. But when you come out, sometimes you can fall to pieces. You sort of think, well, that's not a very good college then. But I tell you why you fall to pieces is because suddenly there's nobody telling you to do something. You suddenly got to step up to or into a kind of maturity.
Yeah.
Now, we'll embarrass her a little bit, but she's not actually here, so it's not so bad. But obviously, Joanne came to us as a third-year student this year. And one of the things that's really impressed me about Joanne is obviously she's got a life experience and everything else, but she stepped out of that student just doing what you're told mentality, learning mentality, to taking initiative. Sometimes I attract keeping up with everything that she's doing, because she's doing everything everywhere. But that's exactly as it should be. Yeah, you know, I don't know who she's seeing all the time. She sees all kinds of different people and does all kinds of different things and comes and says, how about if we do something like this? And that is how it should be. Yes, there's a God puts leadership in place, and there isn't a kind of independent just doing what you want to do. Don't get that impression. But within what God has given us, there is initiative. Now, God has said have open house. So anybody in this room can say, I'm going to have people around my house. Because we've said you can.
Yes.
But nobody said you've got to do it on Wednesday night at 7:30 and you're going to follow this course. But you might decide to do something and watch this television program or pray together or have communion together. People say, why don't you have communion more often? Why don't you share the bread and the wine on a Sunday more often? Because I think the place for it is in people's homes. Otherwise, you end up with a priest that dispenses the elements. And that's not how it was started. It was started over a meal. When we have meals together, that's a brilliant time to have bread and wine. Yeah? In our homes. And also, if you do it in big services, hopefully in every service we ever have, there's people in the group that don't yet know the Lord. And as soon as you start to have the bread and wine in that context, the people who don't yet know the Lord shouldn't really be taking the blood and the bread. And so you immediately are saying to people, you can't have this. Now, there's a right context for that. But in the context of welcoming people, particularly on a Sunday morning here, you don't want to be saying no, do you? So there you are, that's that reason. I don't know why I brought that in. Anyway, Romans 12, therefore, verse 1, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Amen. That sounds a pretty hefty commitment to me. Not offer your body to come and help carry the PA in at 9:30 on a Sunday. You know, that's quite a commitment, doing that. But even that doesn't really sound like a living sacrifice. I mean, living sacrifice sounds like... But actually, we're not here for ourselves. And if we try and live for ourselves, we actually lose the very thing that God has given us. There's so much more, church. So much more that God wants us to live in now. And we want to see, and we are seeing, the miracles and the release of power and everything else. You know, how many people have we seen literally... miraculously healed, even at the front here. But that is only the tiniest taste of what God actually wants to see happening. I think God wants to see a lot more miracles in our lounges and our dining rooms and on the streets than we see here. Yeah, sometimes this is a place to bring people, and there's a lifting of faith and everything else, and that's good, you know, we don't stop that. But actually, God wants everybody to grow up into this maturity of thinking, I can do this in Christ. I'm not just the laity. There was I was flicking through the Christian channels the other night, and I don't know if you ever do that. I was watching the Catholic channel, because sometimes that's the most interesting one. But it is. They seem to do things on it that are interesting to watch, you see. And I was listening to it, and they advertised this course, and it was about what you can get the laity to do. And I sort of thought, oh, well, that's one reason I don't watch. There's no such thing as laity. The laity is the people who are not the priests, if you're suitably non-religious. But there is no such thing as laity. We're all priests in the kingdom of God. You don't have to find something for the laity to do, because everybody is called to minister. Because the word minister just means serve. We're born to serve. We're born to be living sacrifices. It doesn't sound that, woo! Everybody's going to go out of the library this morning and spill out onto the streets. We're called to be living sacrifices. But actually, if we grasped what God is really saying in this is my plan for you. This is what will equip you. This is how you will, if you live your life like this, you'll know the fullness of everything, not just in your head, not just reading it and saying, yes, by faith, it's mine. But actually, you start living this life, suddenly, we will be skipping down the road going, I am a living sacrifice. Woo! 24/7. I got a feeling it might not happen today, but... Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Because our lives, we're called to worship the Lord, but not by singing songs only. Not by playing instruments even. Not even by snapping the string on our guitar in the middle of the worship. Don't want to draw attention to it though. Praise God. but by our whole lifestyle of a living sacrifice. That's real worship. Even then, I misused the word worship because I talked about during the worship. That's a sort of an anomaly, really, a misuse of the word. It's our lives that worship God, and singing is just a small part of it. Sunday mornings is just a small part of what God has for us. Praise the Lord. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, this is what God was given us just not long ago. Do you remember? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, as you get the word of God in there, he's going to change the way you think about stuff. Like living sacrifice. Like being together. Like being the body. Yeah? By the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And remember, if you look at that word, it means that by not conforming to the pattern of the world, but living according to the word, you will actually prove the word of God. In other words, God will back up what's in this book. That's why you've got to have the miraculous, because it's in here. And it doesn't say anywhere in here it's going to stop. So if it's not going to stop, you have to see it now, because God's word's got to be backed up. It's got to prove his word. How do we do it? By having our minds transformed. Really, where does the doctrine of miracles and that stuff isn't for today? It comes from experience of people not seeing it happen. And so you have to sort of, to make yourself comfortable, to have to live with that fact, it's not surprising that theories came out that it all died away. But actually, whenever we see something that's not happening that is in here, it's not, why isn't it happening anymore? What's the reason? It's, that should be happening now. How do I step into that? I still haven't got to where I'm going. Hallelujah. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now that, if we live by that, that would just change everything, wouldn't it? We're not more important than the person next to us. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. Verse 5. In Christ, we are many. We who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's not a go-alone job. You know, we get our meaning and our life from the body. If we could cut me open this morning and see my liver, no, I think it's there. Apart from it being a bit messy, if we then took it out and everybody had a good look, I would be feeling very poorly. The liver has to remain part of the body. The liver might be the best ever liver in the world, you know, no trace of any ill health, nothing at all in there. But if you take it out and put it on show, the body that it came from is going to be extremely ill. Yes. Every organ is actually essential to that functioning of the body. Yeah? The only reason you can... So the only thing you do see, though, is let's talk about somebody having a liver transplant. Why would they do something like that? It's probably because that liver is diseased or got cancer in it. And the only time in the Bible when somebody is removed from fellowship... it's because of cancer in the body, which is gross sin. Yes. There can be a time when they're removed. Why are they removed? Because such is the sin in that person that it's actually starting to cause ill health throughout the whole body. Yeah. But that's the only time that something is taken out of the church. And even with that, there's that seeking healing in that person's life and seeking restoration in that person's life. Jesus said, I will build my church. My people together. And why do we need to be the church? Because all the powers of hell, it says, cannot stand against it. But it's the people together. Individuals can get picked off. Together, hell cannot stand against it. Ephesians 2:19, we looked at it earlier in another version. What version is it? Living Bible, it says, you belong to God's household with every other Christian. Isn't that cool? There's something in this that we haven't grasped yet. And I'm talking about myself as well. I think there's something that we can all get from it. Let's go to a really, 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 really challenging passage that might well leave every single one of us thinking like we're never going to get there. You'll see what I mean in a minute. You know this so well. But I believe it's actually what God wants us to be. And we need to let the Holy Spirit work in us so that we can get to this place and out of the culture we live in. Some of you are probably even guessing where I'm going already in this context. I wonder if you've got it, where I'm going to. That's so challenging about the believers being together. That gave it away. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. He's there. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Well, there's enough of a challenge. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. My house? It's not here. My car? My shirt? But they shared everything they had. Why don't people share? Because often when you do share, what you share is not treated well. One of the dishonouring things you sometimes see when the believers do start to share stuff amongst one another is people don't treat what they borrow as even more precious than they would treat something of their own. Whatever you borrow, whatever you share, unless it's to keep, you've got to make sure that when you give it back, it's better than when you received it. Yes. Now, if you borrow a lawnmower, it should go back cleaner than when you borrowed it. If you borrow somebody's car, you give it a clean before you give it back, even if you've received it filthy. And if this kind of thinking gets in amongst us, it's going to be awesome. Yes. Yeah, this is really honouring one another. And some, you know, sometimes even down at Rofi, Kingdom Faith in Horsham, sometimes the sort of communal property gets so badly treated. It used to make me so cross when stuff that's communal isn't looked after. You know? If you're carrying this drum kit out that belongs to Dan, you should be treating it better than Dan would treat it. And he's bad enough. Yeah? If you're carrying one of these speakers, you know, this, you've got to treat this better than you would treat your television set in your front room. Costs about the same too. It's a different way of thinking. But actually, it does start to make it, I can actually live like this. That's why I don't like lending stuff, is when it comes back broken, you think, I mean, you've got to forgive and you've got to move on, obviously. But wouldn't it be brilliant if we all started treating one another's stuff when we do borrow and lend and share and give better? Yeah? Amen. Do you, when you leave this place, because this is kind of ours at the moment, isn't it? Do you, if you see something on the floor, do you just pick it up? Because you want to leave it looking better than when you came in. Because we're borrowing it. We're sharing possessions. In this case, with the county council. Anyway, let's go on because I want to get to the end. But they shared everything they had. Now, what was the result of people living together? And I'm not saying, you know, we're going to put everything in a pot after the service and take whatever you want. I'm not saying that at all. Might bring revival if we did, but, or worse, nobody comes next week. But what was the result of this new open-mindedness, of this new sharing? With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. This generosity of spirit, this openness to one another, is what releases the power of God. Why don't we see more of the power of God in the Western church? Because we don't share. We have a selfish, my house, put up the drawbridge, my time mentality. And we're better, we can look at other people and think, I'm better than they are. But I think where Jesus is taking us to is stretching us out like this. I mean, everybody in this room should be feeling challenged by this morning's message. Yeah? Because there's no point having a message that just makes you feel good. You're not going to grow anyway. That's why you're here. You want a message that makes you grow. You want a message that helps you to take hold of more of God, don't you? Well, this year I'm giving you one. But don't forget, anything that makes you feel like, oh, is going to bring a yeah at the other side. And that's what we forget. We just look at the cost. For the joy that was set before him, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, endured the cross. Now that was pretty big living sacrifice job. In fact, it was such a big living sacrifice, it killed him. But because of that, because of the joy of what he knew was on the other side, he went for it. And sometimes it's like that with this messages like I'm giving this morning. Sometimes the pain of it is like, oh, I don't want that. But actually, we can see that on the other side, this is going to be good. Yes. This is going to be good. I tell you, this is going to be good.
Yes.
Amen? God is changing us. This is one of those passages it's in your Bible that everybody sort of skips over a bit because it's a bit challenging. But I believe even within a 21st century English culture, we can learn to start to live more like this. I don't think we're going to live in a commune. I don't think there's going to be a big building where everybody puts their property and everybody just takes stuff. But I do think God is talking about of a generosity of spirit where we're honoring one another, sharing with one another, doing things for one another. There's another big way of giving. What have you done for somebody else in the church this week? In what way did you make yourself a living sacrifice for somebody else in the body this week? There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is 21st century church and first century church tithing and giving. Some people, you get all these arguments sometimes, don't you, especially on the internet, whether tithing is of the law or not of the law, and it wasn't of the law because Abraham started, it's a tenth. The tenth is Old Testament. New Testament is sell the whole house and give the whole lot. 10% is the barest minimum, not what we strive to achieve. That's why the Bible talks about tithes and offerings. And why do we give? So we can give back out again. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. They laid it at the apostles' feet. They didn't just distribute it as they felt like. They laid it at the apostles' feet and it was overseen, right? This is going to there. This is going to there. We'll do this with this. Amen? But it wasn't 10%. But don't panic. I'm not saying everybody's got to go and sell their house and lay their money at their feet. Or my feet. But hang on a minute, though. Look what else happened here. This is in this context of everybody sharing everything, because this passage often gets read out of context. So Barnabas has just sold a field. Now he sold a field he owned. He obviously owned other stuff, but this field he sold. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, in this context of everybody sharing everything, sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Had he done anything wrong? No, not yet. In fact, he was most likely paying a lot more than 10%. Wouldn't it be a great problem to have in the church if everybody only did a 70% tithe? Hallelujah. Because this togetherness thing does include the dirty word money. It does. Part of what God is doing is got to be, there's got to be a collective coming us together with the money word as well, with the cash word. I very, very rarely preach on tithing and money and stuff like that. In fact, I challenge you to remember when I did. I think I've mentioned it once as part of a sermon before. And I'm not really speaking on tithing this morning because tithing is 10% and I'm saying let's give 100%. Hallelujah. It's challenging, isn't it? But that's what it's got here. It's not mine to do with what I want. It's to do with as the Holy Spirit leads me. Now with Ananias, in a sense, he's done nothing wrong, but it's what's going on in here that is causing the issue. Because Peter says to him, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Not most of the money, just some. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it's sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? In other words, you could do what you wanted to do with the money. But what he did that was wrong, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have lied not to men, but to God. What was wrong was he was giving it in the, I'm giving everything. I've sold this field. He was misleadingly giving. He was trying to make it look better than it actually was. He didn't have this, he wasn't living according to this revelation given in Acts chapter 4 of sharing everything together. And it wasn't that he had to give it all, but he was pretending that he wanted to give it all. And it's so key, this passage, and it's so challenging, this bit in Acts chapter 4, that at this point, it's almost like the Holy Spirit is backing up in fullness that this actually is the way we've got to live. And if you're trying to live something else, if you're trying to lie about it, there's going to be dramatic action. I don't know if anybody's going to die this morning after we've had the offering. We can have a new. Let's have a look what else happened. Because when Ananias. Whoa. When Ananias. Just don't lie about what you give, okay? When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Well, it would do, wouldn't it? Yeah? Imagine Chris puts, you know, 500. But no, that's not enough, is it? Because this is selling property. Let's imagine Chris came forward this morning and put in the offering £40,000. We'd all be going, yeah, cool. Praise God, well done, Chris. Hallelujah, now we can have that building. We'd all be, and then the next minute he drops dead because he only gave 40,000 and actually he'd got 50. This is, are you with me on this? Yeah. Even though it's a little bit sort of dodgy ground, you know, everybody's potential, this is one where you can really offend everybody in the room as the preacher. You're just using the word money upset some people. Anyway, he falls down dead. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. So maybe we need to have a new ministry team. The carry out the dead body ministry team. We've got Dr. Nigel with us today, so he can certify it. I'd be like to see what he writes on the certificate, mind you. Died of disobedience. To the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Anyway, this isn't just a one-off. Because about 3 hours later, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. They'd got the body out by then. Who wants to volunteer for this new carrying the body? This is more than catching people in prayer, isn't it? Next time somebody goes over in the Spirit, just check. This is slain in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in and, finding her dead, carried her out. Oh, it's the next one. And great fear seized the church. Well, it's not surprising, is it? But it's just good to see that this, the context of this passage is in this passage, in the context of it, is everybody sharing, everybody giving. And what they tried to do was deceive everybody. But before we write them off as trying to deceive everybody, bear in mind they weren't tithing. We don't know how much they were giving, but it was only some of a lot of money. In every church across the land, most of the church would be up rejoicing that so much had been given. The Holy Spirit wasn't rejoicing. The Holy Spirit killed them. It's odd, isn't it? Isn't it an odd story? But so much does God desire, or in this situation, so much did God want to protect what was already working in the believers' hearts. If they'd got away with this, it would have killed that move of God at birth. because you've read the next bit, because it's always important to interpret Scripture according to what's going on. Great fear seized the whole church, you bet it did, and all who heard about these events. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders amongst the people. It's in that context of that living together, of that sharing together, of that generosity of spirit. And all the believers used to meet in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them. Come and join our church. By the way, if you don't give in the offering, you might die. It was a kind of, I'm not going near those guys. And yet, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. But they weren't added as in a kind of, I'll fit this in with everything else I do. They had to be added into the culture of sharing together. This was no easy way into the kingdom. This was no raise your hand and make a decision for Jesus. This was come and be a living sacrifice. Jesus died for you. Now you die in your present life to him that you can live your fullness with him. You die to your owning your own stuff, owning your own possessions and calling everything yours. Come and share everything you have with us. Wow. It's different, isn't it?
Yes.
Anybody feeling a little bit awkward?
Yes.
Yeah. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought in the sick, brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed.
Amen.
It wasn't just Jesus' ministry. All of them were healed. Even the ones who were lying in the streets with the shadow going across them. All of them were healed. Amen? Who wants revival? Who does want revival? Then God is moving us into a new gear. Are we there? Nowhere near. Are we going there? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but there's something in me. There's something in me that's totally scared at the cost of this. I want to be honest. But I also see that it's exactly where God is taking us. It's not so much even where he's taking us, it's where we are now. It puts inviting somebody around your house for a meal into context, really, doesn't it? It even puts just paying 10% as a tithe into context. It's nothing. Is it biblical or not biblical? I don't even want to answer it. The New Testament was just another. The New Testament church was just in another league altogether. We don't live by the law. But you see, the law said you commit adultery by having sex with another woman when you're married. But Jesus said a lustful look's enough.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. The law, or what came in with the law, was the tithing. But when you move in the Spirit, it's so much more. Amen? Someone said to me, you really do need to teach on tithing. They're probably regretting it now. I still haven't preached on tithing. I'm going to finish with this. Just listen to these bits from the Bible. Under his direction, that's obviously Jesus' direction. This is from Ephesians. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Nobody is an odd part. If they seem to be an odd part, it's because the church isn't enabling them to be fitted in properly. It's not their problem, it's the body together that's got to change. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that good? I'll read it again. And I've got one last bit from James. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Sometimes you can sit in a church and think, I don't know if I belong here, because you feel slightly different or slightly set apart, or you can't see what God has for you. That's often a sign that that's exactly where you're supposed to be, because you're a special part that's going to enable something new and different. And this bit from James in this last thing of being together. My dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. It's the last sentence in the book of James, in the Message. He's just given the example of prayer, you know, of Elijah, and powerful, the prayers of a powerful righteous man are effective, you know, all that teaching. But you see, the prayers of a powerful effective man are only effective if he follows up what he's praying about. So if he's praying for people to be restored to the church, then he's got to do this bit. Because we're called to be together. Prodigals can wander off. But we're always looking out for them. Yeah? The lost sheep was a bit of a struggle. It's not just a question of, well, when they come to their senses, they'll come back. There's more involved. My dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Get the pastor to go after them. Oh, I added a little bit in. Thank goodness that's not there. We all do this as the body. Go after them, get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Amen? In every church, you find there can be a back door. Everybody talks about the back door. People come in the front door, they're welcomed, and they disappear out the back. And they say, how are we going to shut the back door? There is only one way to shut the back door, and that is for the body to look out for one another. That's the only way. It's not we need a better program for new believers. It's not we need to have a Freedom in Christ program, although we are putting one in, you know, we are doing that one in place. It's not we need more training. It's not we need more services. It's not we need more prayer. It's loving one another. It's looking out for one another. When somebody leaves a church, there's always somebody that knew it was coming. And there's always somebody that knows about it before somebody else does. And if you know about it, what do? Living sacrifice. It's cool, isn't it? And what's the result of this? More and more men and women were being added to the church. I want to see people saved, don't you? When we're out doing street angels on a Saturday night, I sometimes look at the people we meet and think, there's a gap like this between you and me. But the thing is, and there is, how do we reach them? It's called the cross. It might seem like they're a long way, but there's a cross that will come in between them and bring them to God. But we've got to be the body that's living and loving together, so that by the love we have one for another, they will see. Amen? Amen. Praise God. There's only one appropriate response to this morning. That's to have the offering. Dan, could you get a few young guys together? Hallelujah. Let's stand, shall we? Can the worship team come forward again, Steve? Hallelujah.
You got someone standby.
Okay. Mark could be one of them. Unless he's one of the ones dead. I'll stop now. I really will get into trouble. Hallelujah. God's good. Anybody in for asking the Lord to change their heart and so that we can live together? If you're a visitor this morning, I believe God had you to hear this morning to hear that message. Because it's not God, that's something that God's doing just here. It's something that God is doing in the body of Christ. Amen. That we're all rooted into our own local church where God has called us to be because we are essential and we are special to the purpose of that church. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.